For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Something like 2 weeks after giving up play calling duty and having a new quarterback and swapping out left tackles to be like, but wait, there's more.
Outside of firing yourself, which I did think was on the board until the Eagles kind of turned it around a little bit. I was like, is there a chance that maybe Stefanski sees what's happening in Philadelphia and wants that job and starts to angle for that one instead? There are a lot of jobs with good quarterbacks that are going to be open at the end of the season, though. I think we do have to start taking into the consideration the idea that maybe Stefanski is also rooting for that to happen as well.
I don't know. It's so impossible to get a read on this. I will say, the narrative that continues to come out about, you know, poor little Kevin and he doesn't have any power, I think is wildly unfair. If that's your defense of Kevin Stefanski, is he doesn't have any power in this, that's not a defense. That's not. No, you're making him seem like the man has no power, no responsibility, and is in no way, like, in charge of their success. Like, you can't go out and say, well, they went 11-6 last year for Kevin, and then this year go, but he has no power. Like, that is wildly disingenuous. That is talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, but the idea, and it's always been true with Kevin, and this is one thing that I've kind of clapped back on, is the idea that when things go right, he gets all the credit. When things go bad, he gets none of the blame. Like, it's always been with him. That's why for years, I made the case that if the Browns won a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson, then Andrew Berry and Stefanski were going to get all the credit for bringing Deshaun Watson here. And if it went bad, then Haslam was going to take all the blame. And we kind of see how that's going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I actually think, so the quarterback we haven't mentioned yet, I think the most telling thought of where Browns fans are with this team as relation to Sunday and what that game means. I haven't heard nothing about Jameis Winston losing his job.
No, Stefanski last night in the postgame, in the postgame was like, it's his job. And I think people believe that.
Well, but I just, like, we've done that where we've heard the coach say something, and then we go, well, that's not the way it should be. I think yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back for Browns fans. Of like,
yeah.
Like, even if you bench Jameis for DTR, it's not going to fix it.
Right.
Like, I think, and by the way, it's not a bad place to be, because it can allow you some pretty sober decisions here.
It feels
ahead
pretty
of tomorrow. And I also think it allows you to maybe start having an honest conversation about Andrew and Kevin and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't see the point of having those conversations exactly today, but like, I think in a way, 2-7 can be a gift. There's no ambiguity. The worst thing you could have with this team is ambiguity. That's what they've had for 3 years because of Deshaun. Even when it's good, it's like, well, but what about Deshaun? Like,
okay, I see what you're saying. It was wrapped funny to me. 2-7 is a gift is a hard thing to hear and be like, oh, thank goodness for 2-7. But I get what you're saying. You'd much rather know with certainty than sitting there and questioning. Like, the worst place the Browns could have been in, Nick, is at the end of the season if Deshaun Watson was fine and that was it. Because then you're like, I don't know. What do we do with fine?
Yeah.
What do we do with that? At least this way we know.
Well, in 8-9 is the worst place you can be. It'll be fun because that means you will have to win six of your final nine games. But guys, or six of your final eight games. That is always fun. But where this team needs a reckoning. This team needs a, man, why does this player-led locker room, I'm going to reset that.
That's okay. Yeah, one more chance.
Why does this player-led locker room seem to have no fight and toughness, and the second they get punched in the mouth, they fall down?
No, but that's what's nice about yesterday, in a way, is that it takes away the idea that if they end up winning out, let's say, even, it just doesn't matter. None of it's going to erase any perception of what anyone has right now.
And if there is anyone out there clinging to, but, they're 1-1 without Deshaun. The Chargers told you yesterday how much respect they have for you and for your offense. Because when they were down in the fourth quarter, the conventional thing to do is just keep running the ball, run the clock out, and just take the win. That's not what the Chargers did. And I heard Andrew and Nathan's going to join us in 10 minutes. I heard them like kind of go back and forth, like, why do they continue to throw the ball? And you had one half of this, which was...
Well, I thought it was the fact that Herbert had been injured for basically five games of the season already. He'd come back. This is like his third game of being 100% healthy, and they just wanted to get him some throws.
Yes. So they treated it like a preseason. Now let's get to where I took it, which is they didn't respect your ability to get back in that game.
They knew they could put out whatever number they wanted to put out to yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they knew they could give you...
They could call the box score ending.
They could give you... By the fourth quarter, they knew. We can give you four chances to get in the end zone. And you might make one of them. By the way, they took one of them. But you might make one of them, but you're not going to make this a game. So we're just going to go ahead and treat this like a preseason game. Think of how bad it has to get for a team full of veterans... Like, these are not rookies. Well, this is an older team.
Yeah, I know. I heard a Harbaugh leading up into the week. He'd made a comment about how he thought that the run game and the offensive line was the tip of the sword. And I guess Justin Herbert kind of took offense to that. So I do think a lot of this in that game was Harbaugh almost making it up to Herbert in a way of like, listen, I know you're the one. We go as you go. And I'm going to try to reaffirm that. I really think that was all that really was. I think you're right about the second part, too. He could have called out whatever score he wanted to. It was, in a sense, very disrespectful to the Browns. But I think at that point when he knew the game was wrapped up, he's just trying to make his star quarterback feel like a star.
The thing is, I don't think it was disrespectful. I think it was pragmatic. I think he looked and he saw that team at some point in that game lost its fight.
I don't know, it reminded me of the Monday night game against the Knicks where Darius Garland got to score 15 in the fourth quarter. And you could tell the Cavs just wanted to boost up Darius's confidence. Mm-hmm. That's what that reminded me of.
And by the way, this is not me calling out Jim. Good. You had to get your work in. That team's got a hell of a chance to be a really nice team. And Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. They might actually do some of the playoffs this year. I no ill will. I don't. Because at some point, if the Browns don't stand up and punch back, if the Browns just take, hey, you know what? We're a bunch of good guys and we like each other. We're a bunch of pros. And hey, don't you guys know what we did last year? And if Kevin and Andrew want to tell me about the things they accomplished the first 4 years, you know what? If that's the best you got, if the best you've got is what about last year? That's fine. You're telling on yourself. But why? Like, I'm not going to give myself a coronary here when the Chargers told you what they think of the Browns. And the Browns tell you what they've got left in the tank. Maybe it's not all like a decision. Maybe it's just, hey, we got flattened. We didn't see it coming, and it's tough to get back on course. Whatever it is, you're flat. This is where you are.
I mean, I also think you're making the Chargers be a much better team than they were. Let's be honest about it. I think they're fine. One of their main targets in the passing game this year was a guy that in college played on the defensive line and Disley. Okay. Like, I mean, they traded every receiver that mattered away. Like, cool that Quentin Johnston had a nice catch yesterday, but like, I really don't think they're a very good Chargers team. I think they're at a crossroads in many respects. We just made them look like the 85 Bears.
I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I think.
I mean, maybe. I mean, wait. If you looked at the schedule in general,
one of those teams was a playoff team, and the other one's just nothing.
You see, there's nine teams with two wins already. Like, that's it.
Just
two wins.
Baby.
There's a lot of teams right now. Like, if you can be a 500 team, you're going to end up in the playoffs. I think that's what the Chargers are right now. Is probably around a 500 team. 500 team gets in the postseason this year.
92.3 The Fan and Seaside Events wants to send you on the Browns fans cruise March 3rd through the 7th in 2025. Tune in weekdays at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. to hear the cruise code word in the very delectable music. I actually really do like, I'm really jonesing on the music, guys. Then enter the code word at 923thefan.com by the end of the hour to get registered and entered to win. Reserve your spot on the 2025 Browns Fan Cruise at brownsfancruise.com. Use code word thefan2025 to save $200. Brought to you by Spirit Airlines, Seaside Events, and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Nathan Zagura gives us his thoughts on where the Browns are, especially as we are within just about 25 hours from the trade deadline, next on 92.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.